bounce shoes, take care of your dogs, and they'll take care of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is the Belmont Stakes, California Chrome with a chance to win the Triple Crown. Janine Edwards will be covering it all for ESPN.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate the time, and obviously it's an exciting week, especially with the Triple Crown on the line. We always kind of root for this, and it's always an added level of excitement for us here, and I guess everybody that follows racing, and even for you, I would think, when there's a Triple Crown potentially on the line.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. It's just, it heightens the level of anticipation and excitement for the race, and especially when it's a horse like this that just comes from such humble beginnings, and, you know, people who have not been in the business very long. It's the first horse they ever bred. They've, you know, put retirement money and savings money into funding this operation. And for them to be sitting here at the threshold of history is just incredible. And it's an amazing story.
We had the draw yesterday. California Chrome going to be in the second post position. How important do you think that is, if at all, in a race this long?
Well, the post position really doesn't matter that much in the Belmont Stakes because it is such a long race, mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of early speed usually in the race. But where it could become a factor for some of the horses is the starting gate is positioned at the finish line, which here at Belmont is right in front of the stands, and there will be 100,000 people here. So a lot of the horses tend to get very antsy and edgy and nervous as they get near that starting gate and the fans are cheering and it's just, you know, humongous crowd. So that can get some of the horses a little tense. And for Chrome, especially being in post two, it does sort of force Victor Espinoza's hand a little bit in terms of strategy because the speed horses, the horses that may show a little bit of speed, are way to his outside and they're going to kind of try to drop over and kind of crowd him a little bit near the rail. So he's going to have to use California Chrome a little bit early and ask him for a little bit just to get some good positioning so he doesn't get stuck in behind horses going into that first turn.
Janine Edwards joining us here in the zone on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. We're talking Belmont Stakes. Who do you consider to be the biggest threat? I mean, for us here, we saw Ride on Curlin run at Oaklawn this year, and it's a horse that finished strong in the Arkansas Derby and in both the Triple Crown races. It would seem to be a horse that maybe if he gets a little more room, a little more time, a longer race like this one, that might have a chance to maybe get in the mix.
You know, that's a great point, and I love Ride on Curlin because he's one of those horses that just tries his hardest every single race. He shows up every race. He's honest. He's doing well. You love his connections as well. You got to root for them, and he's a horse with a lot of talent. But historically, horses that with his running style do not do well here in the Belmont Stakes. For some reason, even though the race is a mile and a half, it's deceptive because most of the winners are either wire-to-wire, you know, front runners, or right up there in the first, you know, one or two. So it's a deceiving race. You need tactical speed. You need to be up close. The pace is usually not that fast. And horses who come from way out of it generally do not do well in this race. So, and if you're going to change your horse's running style because of that and ask him to be up a little bit closer than he normally would be, well, then you're kind of changing your horse's style in a race that can be very taxing and challenging. So it doesn't always pan out. But I do think Ride on Curlin is his main competition, as well as Tonalist and Wicked Strong. I think those will be his main threat.
Okay. I saw Hank Goldberg talking, and he basically blew off the possibility that any horse is going to challenge. And that, I mean, look, it's safe to say that California Chrome is the class of this group and really any horse that it's faced against this year. And you know, so it's easy to say that he's the obvious pick. I mean, is it such a prohibitive favorite that, you know, there's really no reason to try to pick against him at this point? Or do you think they're...
No.
Okay.
No. No, I've seen way too many of these. I think I've personally witnessed 8 horses that were going for the Triple Crown that could not get it done. This will be his most difficult race by far, and his trainer just said that very same thing this morning. It's a talented group of horses that he's running against, and it's a taxing distance. It's a deeper track than he's used to running on. Strategy is going to play a big part because of what we just talked about. So this is not a foregone conclusion, and all of the horsemen that I've talked to who are well-respected veteran horsemen who have had horses in the Belmont Stakes, they all say to me, you know, they do think California Chrome is the best three-year-old in the country, but the odds are against him winning the Belmont Stakes just because of all the things we were just talking about. So it's going to have, you know, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything's going to have to align perfectly for him to be able to pull this off.
It's been since 1978, and there are a lot of theories as to why the Triple Crown has been so hard to capture. We've talked about things like Lasix and commercial breeding and things of that nature. What do you think are the biggest factors that have kept it from happening over the years?
I think those are the two biggest things that you just mentioned, medications, the commercial breeding industry. We have basically a less durable racehorse than we had in years past, and I'm talking, you know, decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think those things have taken a toll on the athletes themselves. I personally am against, you know, the use of all medications. I think we should be medication-free in horse racing, at least for a certain amount of time leading up to a race. And I do think it's taken a toll on the durability of the athletes that we're putting out on the track.
Any problem with... There's such a variance in the scheduling, too. I mean, you see horses that don't run any Triple Crown. We've got a couple that the last time they ran was the Peter Pan Stakes. I think three in this race. And then you've got horses, of course, that ran alongside in the Preakness. You got some that haven't run since the Kentucky Derby. That's another variance that makes it difficult for a horse like California Chrome, you know, trying to pull this off against horses that are certainly much more rested.
Yeah, definitely. They're fresher. There's only three of them total, including Chrome, that have run in the Derby and Preakness.
Mm-hmm.
So he's facing fresher horses, and, you know, that's what makes this race so challenging. Is there's so many variables, so many dynamics to consider, the distance, the track surface, the way the race unfolds, the pace, the fresh horses, different running styles. You know, jockeys are all going to be watching Victor Espinosa. He's going to have a target on his back. They're not going to let him get away with anything easily in the race. They're going to go after him. It's going to be a tall order. It's like Smarty Jones. You know, I'm one of the people who happens to believe that Smarty Jones was targeted early on purpose in the Belmont Stakes by other horses, by other jockeys. Put too much pressure on him. He got too aggressive early in the race, and that's what cost him the Belmont Stakes. So things happen. You know, it's a tricky race, and I personally think this is going to be one of the most fascinating races that we'll see this year. Fascinating, compelling to watch, to see how it unfolds.
Janine Edwards joining us. She'll be covering the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. You cover other sports as well. I know you've got the long background in horse racing, but outside of horse racing, what's your favorite thing to cover? What's your favorite place to go to as far as sports coverage goes?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I've had the privilege of getting to cover the Final Four the last few years for SportsCenter, and that's just an amazing event. It's just incredible atmosphere. I do college football as well as college basketball.
Right.
I love college football. To me, it's just so pure and raw and unpredictable, more so than NFL. You know, so I have a lot of college football venues that I enjoy going to, Texas A&M, you know, LSU, a lot of places. That I can't name them all because they're all different and unique. And what's so great about my job, and I'm privileged and blessed to be able to do what I do, is to get to travel the country and see all these great venues and cover all these great sporting events like we're going to see here Saturday at Belmont.
There's been a lot of talk with the NBA Finals underway. Popovich is one of the great personalities in sports, and sometimes he can be a little tough on reporters. There's a clip we play occasionally, not at your expense, but more at Billy Gillespie's. He gave you a hard time after a question going into halftime. You came right back with another great question, but it's live TV, and you're certainly, you know, you're on the high wire without a net. We've all been in that situation before. I thought you handled it beautifully.
Coach, so far Ole Miss has been doing a pretty good job keeping Jody Meeks covered up. He's only got 6 points. What adjustments do you need to make for him second half?
This is Kentucky. It's not Jody Meeks. He's a very good player. That's what difference does it make? Our team's ahead by two. Ole Miss is playing very good. This is not a one-man team, and that's really a bad question.
Were you mad? Were you upset? Or did you just kind of blow it off and go with the flow?
Well, at the time, you've got to just move on. You know, you're live on the air, so you've got to just, you know, let it go in one ear and out the other and focus on what you got to do and get it done. You know, afterwards, you're thinking, now, what the heck was that, you know? So, yeah, it can be a little annoying, but, hey, it's part of the job. It's part of what you sign up for when you're in that position. You know you're dealing with coaches that get very intense and very competitive, and, you know, coming off a court at halftime, if things are not going especially well or they're mad about something that just happened, they're going to be fired up, and you got to kind of expect that. And, you know, you've got to put your suit of armor on and be ready for bullets, because they may come flying your way.
There's no doubt. Well, I thought you handled it really well, and we do occasionally, because we like to pick on Kentucky around here. We call it the University of, the University of Jody Meeks, we call it occasionally, just for fun.
Despite
yes, Billy.
Exactly right. The University of Jody Meeks. That's one of the all-time greatest.
Exactly. Well, so what's your schedule Saturday? I'm assuming you start early. What's it look like for Friday and Saturday for you?
For me, we're here. We've been here every morning. We're getting here about 5:30, 5:45, because Chrome's been going out about 6. And so we'll be here bright and early, and we'll be here throughout the day and throughout the race. And the race won't go off till a little before 7. So, a great card of races here at Belmont Park to keep us occupied in between.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask one more thing. I guess the nose strip that was such a big story, which you covered very nicely as well for ESPN, it really became much ado about nothing because, as expected, the commission signed off on allowing it as part of the equipment. Were you surprised by what a stink that made or how big a news that story that became?
Yeah, it was kind of much ado about nothing. It was sort of, here's the problem. Because of the age we now operate in with the internet and social media, things hit the airwaves, or they hit your computer, they hit Twitter, they hit Facebook, whatever, and they're instantly all over the place. And they instantly get sent and retweeted and shared all over the place. So things spread like wildfire, and then people add reaction and opinion onto those things, which then grow the comment or the story even larger. So I think when Art Sherman initially said, oh, they don't allow nasal strips? Wow, I don't know if my owners are going to like that. You know, Art is a very easygoing, conversational man, and sometimes his comments can be, you know, taken a little bit too literally, and then people take the ball and run with it. I wasn't there for that particular conversation that Art Sherman had with the media that morning, but of course then I had to cover the story. But it's everybody else that then takes that comment and makes something, and then everybody's talking, and then the next thing you know, we're hearing the Triple Crown may be on the line because he might not be coming. So, Yeah, it was much ado about nothing. The New York Racing Association officials handled it beautifully in the best way that they could. It was a great outcome. And so I think everybody's happy.
Do you make official picks before races?
No, I don't.
Okay. I thought that might be the case, but I thought I would ask anyway. So, like you said, it's going to be great drama, and with a Triple Crown on the line, it'll be doubly exciting for all of us who are big racing fans. So, Jenny, appreciate the time very much. I know it's a busy week for you, and maybe we can catch up again before one of the other big events coming up here. I guess maybe we'll catch up before the Breeders' Cup or something like that.
Okay, Justin.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Jenny,
have
I appreciate
a great
it.
Day, guys.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very nice. Appreciate her.
No official pick.
She didn't even mention how we made her wait. See, what a good gal she is.
She is. Or maybe it's because it is.
Nope.
She does that just to sidestep any kind of criticism, or is that just standard for the business?
Well, no, I think most people who cover the races pick. Herbstreit doesn't pick winners in college football games that he's covering.
Not anymore.
What do you mean?
He's not exactly the greatest.
No, he sucks at it. He's terrible anyway. But he doesn't pick the game if he's broadcasting it, which I think it doesn't matter. I mean, just because you pick him doesn't mean you're rooting for him.
No, I know. Which that's the reason why it seems so odd to me that she didn't, because if you watch the NBC coverage, all of it, they even
everybody
got Johnny Weir picking horses on there, okay, and Tara Lipinski.
Yes.
After they talk about headgear,
God knows
they talk
what
about horses.
You know what I'd rather do?
Well, let me tell you something. If you, Johnny Weir, and Tara Lipinski were all rolled up in Maduro Cigar Bar and Lounge, it'd be one heck of a conversation, my
me,
man.
Me, Johnny Weir, and Tara Lipinski walk into a cigar bar.
And I hope it's Maduro, because then at least, the very least, you can sit back and relax on the leather chairs and couches. They've got some fantastic TVs there, so you can even watch whatever you want. And don't worry, they have these huge smoke eaters, so the smoke is not overwhelming to you. Michael Peace.